Thanks for coming once again, and thanks to all of our guests. Our first guest has written for the Vancouver Sun, BC Book World, Saturday Night Magazine, and Island World Magazine. She is the author of Lives of Mothers and Daughters, Growing Up with Alice Munro. Please welcome the eldest daughter of Jim and Alice Munro, Sheila Munro. Good morning. Can you tell us how you came to write your book, Lives of Mothers and Daughters, Growing Up with Alice Munro?
Yeah. This happened about 20 years ago now. My mother had found all these letters that were written by the Laidlaw ancestors, and some of them were going back to the early 19th century, and they told a lot about our family history, and they were also quite literary. So she was quite excited about that. And she also had discovered that she was related to James Hogg, who is the Ettrick Shepherd, and he wrote a book called Confessions of a Justified Sinner. It was quite a big hit. And his mother was a Laidlaw. So she found that fascinating. And she thought at some point, well, maybe I could use this material and maybe even write a biography of her. But I did not think that was perhaps a good idea for me. But what I could do is write about my memories of her, growing up with her, and then incorporate this other material. And so it would be more of a memoir. And then once I started thinking about that and how rich the material was, then I just got going on the project.
So is it all memoir, is it part memoir, part biography, or how would you describe it?
I think it's a mashup. Yeah. It's definitely, it's a hybrid, because I was writing my own memories, and then I interviewed my mother and my father, so it was her memories of her childhood, and then I had all these, the correspondence, the letters, I had all kinds of material on her writing, and that was another really important strand, is to write about how her writing affected me and how her writing reflected on her own life. So that was another important strand. But generally, I'd say I'm more comfortable with the memoir aspect than biography.
Can you talk a bit more about that, about how her writing affected you? I think it's a question a lot of writers, particularly if they write anything personal, reflect on. How did her writing affect you?
Well, hugely. starting with when I read Lives of Girls and Women, I was 17 when I read that book, and I had never read anything like it, and I just went, wow, my mother wrote this, the way she was writing about women's experience. And I was very much a feminist, you know, a women's lib type kind of person. And this just fed into, from the fictional point of view, how women had all these conflicts when they're growing up, and they might become infatuated, but they shouldn't really go with that, and they should, you know, draw back from their emotions, and all these kind of things were in that book. So that was big, but I guess I've always felt, reading her work, that it was just her voice speaking to me, and, you know, getting to some kind of depth of the truth about people's lives that I wouldn't get any other way. And so it was sort of like another dimension of her being my mother. Yeah, like I sort of took it all as gospel, pretty much, yeah.
No, that was when you first read it at 17, was it?
Well, after that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and I certainly did see it as her reflections on how women should live their lives was very much what I was thinking was accurate and the way you should go, yeah.
Did that change over the years for you?
Well, I think that the earlier collections tended to be a bit more autobiographical, so that I was recognizing things, and I was recognizing the kinds of things that, you know, her friends and my parents and the kind of lives they were involved in and what they did about it. And so In those stories, I think I was more feeling, yes, this is what the woman should do. She should leave her marriage. She should have her own life and her own authenticity, you know. So I think it was, it did form me in my 20s, definitely.
Yeah. And I asked you about this offstage earlier. If you recognized all of the stories or happenings, or if some of them were essentially even mysteries to you, if they were just between your mother and herself, as it were.
You mean where the material came
from?
Yeah,
that's right, the source.
Yes, I mean, I think as her stories evolved, they were probably less likely to be based on events that I would recognize or that was more, you know, obviously on her experience. I think that she took more risks or maybe with her writing and it wasn't something that I could recognize her own life in so much, yeah.
What about your mother's public profile? How did it affect your private relationship with her?
Well, first of all, I will say that my mother was never the kind of person who flaunts her her celebrity or her fame or anything to do with that. In fact, quite the opposite. And I like to think of her as the anti-diva. She's quite extraordinary that way. I mean, until recently, she was her chair that she sits in the living room in her house was this old leather chair that was held together with duct tape. And she never thought of replacing it until it actually broke when she was sitting. So, you know, she just doesn't take herself that seriously. So she would never do that to her children, put that on her children. But on the other hand, there are sometimes I get something from fans of hers that, you know, it's almost like people see her as a saint, as a person. And that, you know, she's my mother. She's not always a saint. And it's just a weird feeling because it's so obvious when people are around her that they value her so much. And everything she says and everything she does is just so important. So if you're in around her, it can be hard not to feel like you're not as valued, you know. It's just the whole thing, that's just the way fame works, I think. But you know, being called Alice Munro's daughter is sometimes hard because my mother has three daughters and we all have names.
Your mother is known as a great observer of life and the human condition, and you're, of course, in a unique position, perhaps along with your two sisters, to observe your mother and have observed her as she's written about life and mm-hmm. the human condition. What can you tell us about your mother's writing process?
Okay. Well, that's good because I have a direct line to my mother's psyche, so I can say quite a bit about that. We've had conversations about it. And I've observed her, and as long as she gets enough time and uninterrupted time, her writing will come to her. Like, she doesn't struggle too much to get into a story. Sometimes she has to write a few pages to figure out, oh, what is the story? But then it's very intuitive, and the scenes just come to her. Things, the dialogue, the characters, it appears to her. So I think she's quite fortunate that that happens. But then she's got the story, but then she's only got the first draft. And then what she has said to me, and it's good for writers to know, she said, just remember that your first draft is always going to be terrible. And, in you know, it is, her first draft might be very prosaic, very simple. And then she'll write it and rewrite it and polish it. And she might do it 10 times, you know. It's a lot of work. So I'd say her process is pretty typical. I mean, she works very hard at it. But the original inspiration is she always wants to be working on a story. like she's just sitting there drinking her coffee, but she's actually working on a story.
Your book sometimes illuminates the things that inspired some of her stories, and I wonder about the two stories that are featured on stage at the Belfry, Differently and Save the Reaper. Is there anything you can tell us about these stories?
Yes, I have my notes here. Well, I reread the stories, and I'm really glad that these stories were chosen because they have such complexity, and there's so many different things going on. It was really interesting to read them again. So, Differently, being set in Victoria, and the woman, Georgia, she's going back, and she's remembering a former time in her life when she was friends with Maya, and she had a different life. She was married then. Well, anyway, I see that as referring to the 70s, because I was very aware that my parents and their friends were going through this upheaval in the 70s. And people were breaking up, their marriages were breaking up. And a lot of those people were in the Unitarian Church. That's where my parents went. And they were very progressive, and they'd married really young, and their kids were grown up, and they were still maybe only in their early 40s. So they wanted to start over again and have a more exciting life that they didn't get in their 20s. So that was that sort of was important, it was significant that this woman had been part of that when, you know, marriages were breaking up and people were trying to change their lives. What else can I say about that? The other part is that, you know, Georgia talks about working in a bookstore, and she's looking out the window, and there's that beautiful scene at the end where she's just looking out at the street. And my mother, of course, she did work at Munro's in Victoria. And I don't think there was a Miles character, but there were, you know, there were the regulars who would come in and talk to her. So it was a little bit of a salon that she had there at the bookstore. Everyone used to come in Saturday nights when she was working to talk to her. Yeah, so that is from her own experience.
How is your mother doing these days? Do you see her much these days?
Yeah, I see her probably 3 or 4 times a year. And she is living in Clinton. And she has a very quiet life. She did stop writing when she was 80. So she's not writing, which I think is a little difficult for her sometimes. But one thing she does that's really nice is every day she walks up to see her friend Ruth, and Ruth lives in a care home. And Ruth is 90, and she's nearly blind. And what my mother does is she reads to her. And she'll read, you know, an article in Maclean's or something like current events, but it just makes my mother feel really good that she can do this for her friend. It's really important to her. So, you know, that's what her life is now.
Well, Sheila, it's very good to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you before. Sheila Munro is the author of Lives of Mothers and Daughters Growing Up with Alice Munro.